that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we say good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and all of us are here this morning. And we welcome you this May 11th, 2013. Time is sure flying by. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, a little overcast. We've had just some real nice slight showers on and off the last few days. Boy, talking about a nice, gentle ladder rain coming, and it has been that way here. And we have to remember that it's God Almighty that sends that rain or withholds it. So, well, John, would you open us up in prayer this morning, and then we'll just take off, I guess.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would guide and direct us and lead us in our thoughts, that they would be of some benefit to your people, the remnant. Pray for your blessings to be upon this Saturday morning coffee with the Wranglers, and pray that you would continue to bless the remnant out there. Pray that you'd remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and as we move forward in these last days, Lord, that you would grant us more Holy Spirit, and pray that this 40 days of fasting would be pleasing to you, and that you would open up the doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed, and that you'd lead us to those deeper truths. And we humbly submit to your authority, Lord Jesus, and say, lead us. Pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll just put it out there to see if anybody had anything they wanted to start off with this morning, something that might have been on their mind.
It just seems like there's a lot of more continuous things going on just throughout the world. Seems like there's just people that are just like continuing to wake up too. I know that just throughout this last couple of weeks that we've been doing doing this prayer and fasting, that you know, the comments that I'm hearing from people on that are that they feel different doing it. That they sensed a change, that it was something that they thought was going to be really hard to do, and something that they were not accustomed to, but it was easy, and you know, they felt good about it, and I thought that was something that was noteworthy. You know, talk a little bit about that, the prayer and fasting, or not.
No, we sure can. The newsletter 4 should be in the hands of the remnant now, and its main article is entitled Prayer and Fasting, and it addresses that very thing, the reasons why the people of old prayed and fasted, and it does explain it out. And you know, if you're just tuning in, what we're doing is asking members of the body of Christ, members of the remnant, not to fast for a full 40 days, but to take one day, at least one day. If you want more, then by all means take more, but to at least take one day between, we started on May 1st, and so now that's been 10 days ago, and so between now and our Branson gathering, we're asking people to take one day to fast, and to pray, to read his word, to draw near to God, to cry out to him in repentance and humility. And you know, the remnant across the United States have answered the call. We've asked people to call in and let us know what day that they'll do that, so that we can make sure that we've got at least two or three members of the remnant, members of the body of Christ, that are participating, that are doing just that. And we've sure had the calendar full. We still have, we still need more people. We're pretty full up until, I think up and through into next week, but we do still need people, and you know, we still have people calling and emailing in and saying, what dates do you have? Put me down for, you know, whenever you need, and put me down for Tuesday and whatever. So, I agree with you, Jason. The people we've talked to, when they've called in and told us, you know, they've enjoyed it, and you know, I can't help but think of the scripture that says, you know, in as these last days approach, how ought you to be?
It sounds like people with that attitude has got their hearts right, because you know, it's like anything else. If you do something begrudgingly, or just because somebody told you to do it, or even asked you to do it, you know, it might be more painful. It might be more hard to do, so to speak, you know. But if it's something that you're really into, and you know, it's just like there's people with jobs. You know, I mean, you can go in it with the right attitude, and it's way easier. No matter how difficult it looks,
yes,
from the outside, you know, it's all about how and why you're doing it. Tithing, for instance, you know, I mean, if you tithe, you know, with the right attitude, you know, God will bless you, you know, and it'll be a blessing to him. But if you tithe with the wrong attitude and begrudgingly, you know, and in a form that, you know, I got to do this, you know, I mean, you know, it's just, you won't get the same results, you know, and
right.
That's good to hear what you said, Jason, because that's exactly what it's all about, is getting our hearts right with God, getting some humility, and wanting, desiring, well, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You know what I mean? And it sounds
well,
like that's going on.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that's so important, but also it's that closeness, that personal relationship that you can have with your Heavenly Father when you take part in something like that.
Yeah.
You know, how you can grow closer, you can, you know, connect. You just I really believe that you can, you know, just through the humility and through the sacrifice that, and through the continued prayer and supplication, that you can receive that connection with your Heavenly Father that we a lot of times get separated from, just in everyday life, and you know, dealing with just things that we have to on everyday basis, where you can just regain that connection. So, I mean, that's one thing that I've always noticed is the time where it's like, you know, it puts you back on track. You can get off track sideways, you know, a little bit, and just brings you right back into focus.
Amen. You know, I was just reading here in 1 Corinthians 2, 14, where it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You know, and to a lot, you know, to a lot of the world, to even a lot of the so-called Christian world, this type of stuff is foolishness to them, you know, but that's why we have to, you know, we have to put on that full armor of God, you know, and have that faith, you know. And I mean, if you gird your loins with truth and you believe and you put on that breastplate of righteousness, and then you can go, you know, you can go throughout the land, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, mm-hmm. and you can have that faith and that sword, the word of God, and you can do so much, you know. But it's foolishness. It's foolishness to the natural man, but it's pretty serious stuff. I mean, when you get right down to it, it's, I mean, how are you going to walk? You know, I mean, are you gonna just walk your whole life in the flesh, pretending you're spiritual, or are you going to actually do some stuff that's actually spiritual? You know, and it's,
well, and that's one of the great things about it. It's something that you're not doing out in the public. You're not boasting us. Supposed to do it in private, and it's really to be kept to yourself. That's what standing out on the street corner saying, look at me, I'm fasting, look how righteous I am. And that's one of the things that I think that people can really spiritually benefit from it, because I think a lot of these people that go to church on Sundays, they just want to go to church on Sundays and say, well, I'm in church every Sunday. You know, that's what they do.
Right.
You know, they raise their hands, they dance, and they sing, and it's all look at me and look at how holy I am and how righteous I am, and you know, they get up there, and a lot of these, you know, Baal priest preachers, they talk about the visions that God gives them that never come true, but you know, they get, you know, great glory and out of that, and it's all just a puppet show is what it is.
Yes.
And you know, that's something that there's so much power in the power of humility, and you know, being able to do something in your home, not boasting about it, not bragging about it, not even telling anybody about it, but, you know, just, you know, having that makes it more of a sacrifice.
Yeah, in Matthew 6:16, that's one of the scriptures that's in that fasting article, but this is, you know, what we really need to remember, and I wish I knew this a long time ago, but whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
And another interesting thing that happened this week was the IRS admitted and apologized for targeting conservative groups during the 2012 election. Did anybody notice that? And
how did they apologize? Just put it out.
Well, they came out. They basically, this Louis Lanier, he is the one that heads up the IRS department that oversees tax exempt groups. And organizations, and he came out and said, "We're sorry, we were wrong," but that's about it. That's about just apology. But you know, I don't really care about them apologizing. But at least they admitted that they were doing it, and they were telling the IRS agents in that unit that they needed to go into these people that applied for tax-exempt status and tax-exempt groups, that anything that included anything that was considered conservative, Tea Party, anything that had anything to do with any of the Tea Parties, anything that had to do that was patriotic, that they wanted them to look more into and to do audits on them. And so that all these patriotic groups were investigated, audited, and then they went as far as going to them and saying, hey, we want a list of all the donors and who donated money to your campaign or to your organization, which is completely illegal. And they're not allowed to ask for that information, and they're not allowed to you're not required to give that information out. And people were up in arms over that because they're saying, hey, this is not right, but that's what they were doing, and they got away with it for a long time, and finally it came out. They admitted that, yep, they were doing it. And okay, their apologies don't mean it mustn't, because you really can't believe a word that they say. But it was actually interesting that they admitted that they were doing it, and that they were telling their agents to go after donors, donor lists, and who was supporting these organizations.
Yeah, it looked like when I read that article, they were trying to blame it on some lower level lackeys, though, that made the decision or something. They weren't. As an organization, the head of the IRS or anything wasn't really.
Oh, they always got to have a fall guy. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually, if you're not very high up on that totem pole, that's who the fall guy is going to be. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that the IRS has the biggest turnaround in employment of any organization. And they're always hiring. They have so many people that they hire every year. They have so many people that they fire every year, or so many people that leave every year. And right now they're actually in a decline where they're hiring as many people as they can, and they have more people quitting and retiring than they do have joining. They keep talking. We keep hearing about all these 13,000 IRS agents that they're hiring. Well, the difference is they had 14,000 that were that. That aren't there anymore.
So you'd say the man's men is bailing on them, jumping ship?
A lot of people are just getting fed up. If you read some of the articles on that, they can't keep up with the training. They can't keep up. It's such a regulated bureaucratic deal that nobody can keep up on it, and they get so frustrated because they. Nobody understands it. Nobody, they don't have anything. They're changing the laws so rapidly. They're changing, everybody's got different exemption status and, what they can write off, that, they don't have any idea what they're doing. And it's just become a cluster there. And people are getting to the point where they've just had it and they're quitting. Saying there's easier ways to make a living. Or maybe it's, it could be the Holy Spirit working in their lives saying, get out of here. It could be that, people are just deciding that they don't want to be a part of this system. Who knows? But for them to be bragging about how many people they're hiring and actually be in a decline is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Could be that
and
they work six months.
I can't say that I think it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's That's something that's kind of exciting, actually.
Could be they work 6 months and now they get 3 years unemployment. Never know.
It could be.
Well, could be. Could be. Could be. I think part of it, too, like you mentioned, Jason, being the Holy Spirit. We and the remnant out there that have taken it to heart have been praying that the spells would be broken, that the hold that this ungodly, anti-Christian, Babylonian, Pharaoh-Egyptian type government that is above us as a people, above this nation, rules this nation, that their power would be broken, and that they wouldn't be able to continue on the way they have in the past. And I think that sure could, anyway, just be one more element of that their house of cards is starting to tumble down. Their their big government, their big setup that they have set up is just, you know, they're not in, they're not all working as well together as they used to. Well, I guess we could open up the phone lines in 307-745-5913 if you want to give a call in to Coffee this morning and share your comments or ask a question. Again, for the sure, John, go ahead.
The abomination apparently is serving arrest warrants to 14 of the governors who basically said that they're not following the federal laws against Amendment 2, and basically that they'll arrest federal agents that come into their states and try to enforce them. So that was.
So they're just going to go arrest them. Huh?
They
That's
actually
what they're saying, yeah.
They actually the White House did that. Wow.
Yeah, basically calling them, charging them with treason, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, I really haven't had a lot of time to look at it. Betty sent that in from New Mexico, and she's usually pretty good about looking into stuff before she sends it in. And this, it definitely, I mean, I don't, you know, you don't put anything past them anymore. And the other interesting thing is this Benghazi thing, their senator's starting to talk about impeachment, but we all know that this, you know, we're not getting out of this through the political realm. It's right. It's going to be through repentance, 2 Chronicles 7:14, or it bust, is. In my opinion. So
yeah, and you know, John, as we said earlier, and caller, we'll get right to you. We're seeing repentance. We're seeing a humbling of the people, humbling themselves and praying and realizing that it's not. If you elect Ron Paul, that ain't going to fix it. You know, it's crying out to God. It's in humility, in repentance, in His name, and praying for forgiveness. And as Kyle had mentioned earlier this year, being neighborly, you know, obeying the commandments of loving God and loving your neighbors yourself.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing, you know, it doesn't say that everybody has to do it, but when the remnant. When my people who are called by my name, and I think we're seeing that, and as a result, we're seeing their, you know, their demise. Let's go to the phone
line. That's what they're saying, the prosecute them for treason.
Well, good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I was listening to Pastor Pete before you guys, and he was talking about how the God wouldn't curse the Israelites, so they brought in, I guess, the most beautiful women to try to tempt the Israelites, so that God would be angry. And it reminded me of what I'm seeing today with the mixing of races in the, whether it be TV or radio or music videos, ads, and then in life, of the mixing more and more and more. And but the one question I had was, and that's not being talked about, I don't think enough.
Oh, no, it's being promoted. It's being promoted by almost every aspect of society today.
Yeah. But one thing that confused me is John 1. And it talks about, you know, he came to his own, but his own received him not. And to those who did receive him, and it said not by blood or by flesh. And so that's the only thing that confused me, though.
Well, where are you at in John 1?
The first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, first chapter,
right?
The famous in the beginning, and well, then if you read a little further down there, then it said that not by blood, not by flesh, but by the will of God, and so does that not open everything up to where it's not,
I think,
by blood of the Israelites anymore?
Well, what it means is we're not saved by race. I think, men, correct me if I'm wrong or if you have something else, but I think that what it means is we are not saved because we are the children of Abraham.
No, he's able to turn stones into the children of Abraham. We're saved, you know, even though most of the faith-only people hate it, but we're saved by our faith with works. You know, you judge a tree by its fruit. Now, that doesn't take away from the commandments of God that you know, from way back in the beginning, it was kind after kind. You know, I mean, It doesn't. You know, all that means is, you know, you don't know what's going on, but you can still judge a tree by its fruit. You know, and so when you take the laws of God, you know, and you go against them, that in itself is bad fruit.
Bad fruit, right. It's fruit, you know, it's just bad fruit.
You know, so to take that scripture and pervert the law of God with it, you kind of just show your true colors. You know, I mean, now, you know, you can go into depth, you can go into details about all kinds of stuff that go along with that, but the basic of the whole thing is just like Richard said, you're saved by grace, but that doesn't go against the laws of God. You know, they work together. You know, and the problem is the church world today, they've did away with those laws, and so they can't see what the simple truth of something is, and that is God. You know, it doesn't matter if you can trace your ancestry clear back to Abraham himself. If you're not producing good fruit, you know, if you're producing bad fruit or no fruit, you're going to be cut down and cast into the fire.
Right.
You know, and it's pretty simple, really. It's the lack of knowledge, which what Jose said a long time ago, that destroys people because they don't understand the simple stuff. And the simple stuff is the laws and the prophets, you know, is what led us to now. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. It was our learning. You know, are we supposed to take what we learned and throw it out? That's crazy. You know, so it all works together. It all harmonizes together. You know, and like the pastor used to always teach, you know, it's easier to unlearn stuff than it is to learn stuff a lot of times. And the church world's perverted it for so many years now that you have children that grow up and never hear, you know, how they're supposed to be. So when they get to a scripture like that, it confuses them because, you know, how can these guys say that, you know, you have to marry your own race when it says right here, you know, if, you know, because I heard that my whole life. Oh, we all have red blood. Well, mm-hmm. Goats and pigs and snakes have red blood too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, they're just so far removed from God's law that it makes a simple scripture like that, you know, not so simple anymore.
When they talk about the times of Noah, was that going on then too?
With the Nephilim? I mean.
Well, but with the, because when we talk about, you know, these might be the end times and all, and I just see, like I said, this push to mix.
Absolutely, that was going on.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
It was not kind after kind. It was, you know, it was the daughters of some marrying the children of God. You know, I mean, and vice versa. You know, and it was they were drinking, they were marrying. I kind of think a lot of that where it says they were marrying had to do with that. You know, we're today, not only are we mixing races, we're divorcing and remarrying all over the place. We're separating. We're living together before we even get married. You know, I mean, so, and we got the Sodom and Gomorrah thing going on also. I mean, it's kind of all together now, you know.
Yeah.
And, but definitely, you're right. It's like the days of Noah, and they were doing that then.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hope that helped.
It did.
Okay.
I didn't mean to take all the time, guys.
Well, you did.
No, no.
You did.
Here,
no.
I'm
teasing. I'm teasing.
Genesis 6, under the heading of corruption of mankind, now came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also, He also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent, other thoughts in their heart, was only evil continually." Well, how far are we from that point, you know?
I think we're beyond that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think every thought right now in every man
Well, it wasn't then either, because Noah was a righteous man.
Right.
You know? And,
right.
You know, but, yeah.
I think we got a few more than that right now, but.
A few more than Noah and his three sons and their wives?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, when it says there in 6:6, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. You know, you think you think he's grieved in his heart now? You know, you look at the parable of the in the New Testament about the man that had the kingdom or he had the vineyard and he put the workers in it, and then when it was time for the harvest, I mean, it's his vineyard. He put the workers in there. He took care of all of it. You know, it's his. And so when it's time for him to reap, you know, he sends his workers and they stone him. They won't have anything to do with him. And then he says, oh, well, I know, I'll send my son. Surely they'll recognize him and his authority. And what do? They kill him. And you know, when that parable's given, he says, what should the owner do? What you know, he has every right to do whatever he wants to. Because he was grieved in his heart. And so I think we're right back in that day.
With Noah, I think Noah was a repentant man.
Mm-hmm.
The other people that were outside the ark, they weren't. Mm-mm. And otherwise, they would have came, you know, because he was a preacher of righteousness. So, you know, he was preaching to them what was happening, you know. But they were unrepentant, you know. And obviously, after the flood, obviously they weren't perfect people. Because there was problems, you know. Things happened after the flood that wasn't pretty. You know, and same with Lot coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot obviously was a righteous man, was a repentant man, but obviously he wasn't a perfect man because of the things that happened after they came out of Sodom, you know. But the problem with, you know, a lot of the people, which you guys are saying that you believe it's changing, you know, a lot more people are coming to repentance, that's great, you know, but that's the first step. Is repent, you know. I mean, and that's what people back then refused to do, and you know, and that's what we're trying to help people come to know. I mean, we're supposed to warn people what's coming.
Exactly.
That's our job, and we've been. I think we've been kind of. I can sense that's where we're being led to is more warning, more warning, more warning, because the days are getting short. You know, what I mean,
the time is flying by.
The rains are coming.
It really is.
Yeah, Ezekiel 3:17-19 is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, warn them so that their blood is not on our hand.
Yep.
We have to do that. We do. We do. Well, before time runs out, again, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, but we'll go and invite you to church now. We don't need to wait till the top of the hour, the end of the hour. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow morning. And you can go to the website, scriptures4america.org. It'll also be right here on shortwave for the audio portion. And you don't have to leave your home, but,
I don't.
You know, well, you do. And I do. And the rest of us here do. So that we can get together for fellowship, for not forsaking the assembly. We come together to worship him, to learn about him. To talk about him, to edify each other, you know, to help each other, to strive, to motivate each other to love and good deeds. And, you know, if you think you can just make it out there all on your own, even if you know the Anglo-Israel truth, even if you have repented and been baptized, you know, there's lots of scripture. There's lots of instruction in there on, you know, that we are to do our best to have fellowship, to gather with the saints. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Calvin here.
Good morning, Calvin.
The lady that called in just a few minutes ago, I was trying to remember some of the teachings that Pastor Peters had, but also in the Bible, that God has already assigned, according to his word, the races had their places on earth, with their land that was given them, and also mentions that God assigned gods to the other nation that they had, and that in order to keep them in certain areas because it's practically impossible. And you can look around and see it's for different races to work in harmony. They don't, because they have a different way of conducting themselves, their family way of dealing. It's
right.
Impossible, basically, Pastor Peter said, to have two nations or more than two peoples then occupy one place and live in harmony. If they're not the sons of Abraham, they got a problem.
Yeah, and to go along with that, Calvin, he talked about, the scripture talks about how, according to the proportions of how many Israelites were on the earth, is how the land was divided.
Well, yeah. Exactly right.
Oh, it's the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. It is.
Yep. Well, the point, too, being is that he had decided to shed his love on us, and basically the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, basically the white race, and gave us the assignment to take the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Yep.
Amen.
And those that believed and were baptized would be saved, according to Mark 16:16. And that is the name of that tune. And I was thinking all morning long about, take up your cross and follow me. And I thought, well, you know, that's an interesting verse because of what's been transpiring in my personal life. I said, you know, that's right. If I take up my cross, I know where that's headed. That's headed up the hill, and I'm going to get crucified. I'm going to die. And so, therefore, baptism does work.
Amen.
That's why it works so wonderfully, because now I don't have to be crucified on a physical cross. I can do it by following and doing the gospel by being baptized for the remission of sins. And I have, and it has worked.
Amen.
And that's basically the other thing that I would caution that lady is, where you get your information from, it's all controlled by the other side, basically, whether it's TV or magazine or radio or whatever, billboard. It's all the enemy controlling that.
They're
trying to promote something that is unlawful. God does not want it that way.
You have these most of them get it from the ministers.
That,
you know,
they're
doing their father's job. I mean, they're on the pulpits perverting the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's most of the false doctrines, most of the conflict comes from our so-called brethren and sisters that aren't, but they try to come across that way, you know. And it's coming from...
I was in a waiting room at the auto body shop this week, and I was sitting next to a young fellow that was an associate pastor, youth pastor, headed for Chicago and then for Israel. I said, oh, you're going over to the promised land, the chosen race, that are not. So I said, well, there's a joke on us, huh? And he looked at me like I was with four horns, three legs. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a blessed day, men.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks, Cal.
Yeah, one of the verses Cal was talking about in Deuteronomy 32 is in 32:8. It says, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, and that references to Adam, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. And, you know, that's why... You look at our history, that's why you had the growth in Europe. That's why you had the mass migration over to this waste howling wilderness that once was here, but became the new Jerusalem. And you had expansion, expansion, expansion of his people. What do you have now? You don't have that. Why not? Because the number of the sons of Israel, we've come full circle. We're back into the days where, what does it say? God says he'll make, his men as rare as the gold of Ophir. I guess that's pretty rare. I don't have any gold of Ophir.
But good news of that is he's going to raise men up again.
Yes. You know? Yes.
There's always good news.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're up.
Well, it's kind of interesting, and it's something that I was thinking about the other day is, you know, that T-Act that was passed by Parliament on May 10th, 1773. And which would have been, so that would have been, yesterday would have been 240 years ago that was passed. Kind of interesting. You know, and you think about what started, you know, that you know, the Boston Tea Party. What, you know, was the taxation and how small, minute amount it is compared to what people are enslaved with today. You know, in I think it was 67 that they, or it was 1770 that they were boycotting all kinds of places and products and different things, because at that time in 1770 there was a tax on a lot of things, and from 1770 they dropped it, and the only thing that was taxed was the tea. And in 73 that's when they started really imposing that, and you know, it wasn't a couple months later in December that that's when they went in and they dressed up as Mohawk Indians and boarded the ships and sunk 92,000 pounds of tea. But you look at it in perspective to what it only took a few. It didn't take that many. It took a few to say, hey, no, we're not going to have this. It's going to stop somewhere, and to make a stand. And it spread like wildfire once it did. And, you know, those were all Christians that took part of that. You know, the Sons of Liberty, you know, there's debate. It's debatable because they went back and rewrote so much history. But if you look at early writings that I believe are accurate, you know, they were Christians, God-fearing men who were used to hearing fire and brimstone preaching. You know, and they knew what was going to happen if they didn't, you know, if they didn't put a stop to it now. But it's something that, you know, we're talking about men being raised up again. They raised it up 240 years ago, that's for sure. And I think that 240-year timeline is significant as well. That, you know, and we got to remember that it only takes a few. You're not going to do it on your own. You know, it's not going to be, you know, this Tea Party movement, because they're not Christians. But when you have a group of Christians that stands up and says, no, you know, it stops here, takes a stand on something, and says, hey, you know, if we win, you know, praise be the glory to God. If we die, you know, we take a dirt nap, you know. But that's the attitude that people are going to have.
Amen.
Yeah, I've seen something floating through a few little news reports and stuff. I guess some guy's calling for an armed march on Washington, D.C., maybe on July 4th.
An armed march.
Throw your AR-15s on your back, locked and loaded, and we're marching on D.C. Now, there'll be people that look at that and say, yeah, that's what we need to do, you know, And you're right, Jason. I think you make a good point. The men that participated in and defended their homes when the Revolutionary War started, the big difference between then and now is they were Christian men. They lived their lives with Christian values. They loved their neighbors themselves. They loved their Lord God Jesus Christ with all their heart, mind, and soul. And
they did, and they put God first. They feared
that's right.
Him first and foremost.
That's right. And that is not the way it is today. And because today it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, I can tell you now, anything that's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ will fail and fall.
Yes, sir.
You know, it even used to be back in not too long ago, 80s and 90s, with some of these patriot groups that, you know, they still had somewhat a godly Christian atmosphere about them. Not all of them, but a lot of them did. And that's just that way. I mean, they went in and they've infiltrated these groups so much that they've taken the Christianity out of them. You know, I don't know how many patriot meetings we went to that, you know, they started off with prayer. They, you know, went to the Heavenly Father, and most of the people were Christians. You know, and now these, you know, Tea Party, they've changed it from, you know, patriotic to Tea Party movements, and they're not Christians. And you think that God's going to bless that?
you know, use that to take back America? I don't think so.
No, not at all. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-74, and there it starts ringing. How about that? 745-5913, and we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Timmy from Maine. The people today, they don't want the Jesus Christ. They want a substitute or a fake savior. They want Mitt Romney. They don't want the Tea Party of old. They want a fake Tea Party. They don't want to cast down their bales. They don't want to eradicate sin, the socialism, the perversion. They want to have their socialist cake and eat it too and have low taxes at the same time. The people are just wrongheaded in their approach. No one wants to get rid of the bales.
Yeah, and until that happens, yeah, because you hear, like, when the Tea Party marches, what do they want, you know? And what's the cry, you know, no new taxes or lower taxes or represent, whatever it is. None of it is, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God, so you better repent. Or when you get a dirt nap, it's forever.
Yeah,
you don't hear that kind of stuff. But and you're right, Tim. It's they just want things their own way versus, you know, they want a new Pharaoh that'll just listen to them and cut their taxes a little bit. And they don't want Christ as king.
And here else is what you won't hear, and that is, there's no way you can get to the Father but through the Son.
Absolutely.
You know, and when Peter and the rest of the apostles were going out into the streets saying there's no king but Jesus Christ, that's when the rubber really hit the road. I mean, it's not lower taxes and less this and more of that. It's who's your king? Who are you going to serve? And when somebody says, well, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to get there my own way, which they're saying that all the time, you look at them and you say, oh, there is no other way. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, you know, that's it. That's period, you know, and people are so far removed from that.
The Patriot Movement of the 80s and early 90s was superior to the Tea Party today. The Patriot Movement of old, you know, with the Red Beckmans, was, you know, was far more Christian. These Tea Partiers are just half-butt socialists. They don't want to get rid of the Social Security. They don't want to get rid of public schools or welfare. Medicaid or Medicare. You know, they want to have their socialist cake and eat it too. It doesn't work that way. And even these advocates who are opposed to fag marriage, how many of them call for execution of sodomites? Hardly a one of them. All these issues are approached the wrong way. They want a Judeo-Christian ethic. They want margarine instead of butter.
Right.
They want a Chevette instead of a Cadillac. God's given them a Cadillac. And all they want to sell for is the Chevette or Hugo. I want King Jesus. And those who voted for Romney, they've got to repent of that. They voted for a devil, and they've got to repent of that. And that's it, brothers.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks.
Good points. It comes back to repentance. It has to be repentance. But, you know, so many people out there, they don't even know they have that they should repent. They don't even know.
And I don't want to seem partial here, so I want to throw, you know, we've mentioned the homosexuals a couple times, faggots, whatever you want to call them. The fornicators and the adulterers and the idolaters, and none of them inherit the kingdom of God, you know. And it's our job to warn them all. Even though we might find one sin a little bit more disgusting than another, it all leads to death.
Yeah.
Yep. Even the effeminate.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good point.
Well, we got about 10 minutes left, 11 minutes.
Yeah, reading a little bit more into that article about the lawsuits, it says Obama, fearing a revolution against him by the states, has moved swiftly by nationalizing nearly all National Guard forces in multiple states: Georgia, Alabama, Kansas, Minnesota, Tennessee, Virginia, Louisiana, South Carolina, just to name a few.
I wish they'd send one of those letters to our governor.
Yeah.
Chicken looper. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they Colorado's the new DC. They love chicken looper. You know,
yeah.
he lets all the people have pot legalized so they can all just forget about their worries in a whole different way.
It might be the new DC sometime.
It might be. Yeah. It might be.
You see all the stuff going around about they produced that they printed that gun on the 3D printer. Oh yeah. Boy, the feds are up in arms over that, and it topped one of the biggest downloads of the week, actually.
Well, you know, is the big worry that, one, they can't control the guns, and two, that you can get them in through X-ray machines and stuff like that, you know?
Oh, I don't even know if they're worried about it, they're just making a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah.
What happened now? They sent it where? They sent something?
Go ahead, Jim.
Websites where you can go ahead and you can upload. If you build, design something in a CAD program or something like that, you can upload it and you can free source it and give it out and let people download it.
Uh-huh.
And this guy made a video of him taking one of these 3D printers and printing out a 380 caliber pistol, and showed how he did it, and then took it out and test fired it and showed how it worked. And then he took the file that he used, that he designed to print this gun, and uploaded it and made it available for free.
You still need a barrel and stuff, don't you, Jason?
No.
It's all of it.
What?
You still need bullets. Plastic. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all plastic. It's all polymer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it made the rounds, a month or maybe 2 months ago, how they were, when the high-capacity magazine ban was up everywhere. People were doing that.
A complete right. AR-15.
Right. No. And this is not an AR-15. It's a like Jason said, a little 380 caliber, a small caliber pistol, and you know, you still need bullets. They're still going to show up on an X-ray machine or something like that. And so, yeah, it is pretty interesting that they can do that, because they can make, you know, anything these days.
Yeah.
You know, from pencil and pen tubes to parts for guns. You know, I think it's only about a $6,000 printer, and then plus the material.
You can get they come down there. You can get one for about $2,500 now.
Oh wow! So, but yeah, you know, always something.
Yeah, people were really interested in it, and people were downloading it like crazy because it took a lot of heat this week. They wanted the feds wanted the video put down, and the guy that did it, he went into. There's actually several people that did videos on it, and they're like, you know, there's nothing wrong with showing this video. There's, you know, show us where it's in violation of any laws or anything like that. Well, you know, we'll take it down, and they were able to keep it up. And people started downloading it like crazy. It got uploaded to several sites that offered free downloads, and people were downloading it like crazy. And that just sent a panic kind of out, and the FBI was hot on its trail, and the BATF, you know, they were trying to stop it, but they realized that there was nothing they could do about it. I don't know, kind of interesting, yeah.
Very interesting.
And it shows you that there's a lot of nonconformists out there.
Yeah.
And this week that, you know, another company, another Colorado shooting systems company, Hi-Viz, which is right down here based in Fort Collins, real good company. Started up a couple years ago building firearm sights. They built these fiber optic sights for shotguns, handguns, a lot of different models. But
they're moving to Laramie, aren't they?
Yep, I believe so.
Really?
They announced this week that they said enough of Colorado, and we're not going to be part of it. We're moving, and I believe that
apparently Wyoming gave them the land, and they're building like several million-dollar facility.
Yep.
Well,
this is going to be my neighbor.
Yeah, how about that?
But, you know, and it was basically, I mean, they said that, you know, Colorado came in and said that they can, we don't have a problem with any of the products you build. You can legally build those in the state, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, nope, you know, we're not going to give you our tax money. You know, we bring in a lot of money just in taxes. We're paying this, you know, and, we're going to go somewhere else.
and Wyoming has no state income tax, and it looked like it was a win-win situation for them, so they said, listen, we're out of here.
Absolutely. Now, they do sites and stuff, right, Jason?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. I got several of them.
Yeah, I think I got one.
And several of the people that work there, really good people, really neat organization. So, they're going to be going from my neighbor to being your neighbor.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll welcome them up here. Good, good. Good, good. Well, guys, we're about out of time. We've got just a few more minutes, and if anybody's got any closing comments.
I got a comment.
Okay. Good.
You know, arm yourself both ways. Get a gun, get a sword. If you don't have one, sell one of your coats. Sell a whole wardrobe.
Sell one of your cars.
Yeah.
How about
get
that?
One. And put on the full armor of God.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6. You need it all. You know, Luke 11, 21, and 22 talks about the strong man who's fully armed.
Right.
You know, he can keep his possessions until what? Until in verse 22 it says, until one stronger comes along. So you better have, there's nobody stronger than Jesus Christ.
Right.
So you got to get in the body. You got to fully arm yourself with the armor of God and have the sword, the literal and the spiritual sword. And, hey, then you're in a win-win situation, just like Jason was talking. So hey, maybe it gets you take a dirt nap someday, you know? It's just a nap. It's for such a minute time. But you need it all. You got to be fully armed, not only with the sword of the flesh, but with the sword of the spirit and everything else that goes along with Ephesians, you know, full armor.
Amen.
Anyway, that's my comment.
Amen.
Heed the call to the fasting and prayer. That's my comment.
Yep. Well, we'll go out with 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. And, you know, we talked about things today that are just that. Things that are spiritual. Just like Kyle said, arm yourselves. Not just on your hip, but on your heart, and on your mind, and on your feet.
And, you know, at the very end of that armor, people stop short. It talks about prayer.
Yeah.
Be in prayer daily, as often as you can. It's part of our weaponry.
Right. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And that's how that ends. And remember that full armor of God, it starts with the word, finally. And so there's a lot before it as well that we have to put on. But I like what Kyle said. You do have to be armed. Well, we thank you for joining us this morning. This has been Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And these broadcasts are archived at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and also at our network website, sfawbn.org. Again, hope you join us at church tomorrow morning, right here on this shortwave frequency, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Thanks a lot.
Rolling, 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 stay calm.
Rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. Yeah.
though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.